I'd just like to look one verse further on from where Kath read. Chapter 2 and verse 1 of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. I've always had a bit of a fixation on the wise men, or the magi. Who are they? Where did they come from? And I always enjoy looking at Christmas cards which try to depict them. What racial features will they have? Where is the artist purporting they come from? I remember one card, one of them was black, one was Chinese, one looked rather Middle Eastern, so presumably they'd met up at some point. My own theory is that they simply came from Persia or Babylon, where the Magi were the wise men over whom Daniel had been placed in charge all those hundreds of years before, and had primed them that one day, one like a son of man will come to the people of Israel, and you need to be on the lookout for him. That's my own theory. It cannot be proved, but I dare say in heaven they may well be there. And I'll say, by the way, where did you come from? Well, Matthew does, of course, give us a clue, although it's a very generic one. He says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. East, presumably, of Jerusalem. It's all east to us. Why does Matthew not give us more detail? Why does not Matthew say, well, I'll do my research and I'll find out exactly which nation they came from, and that way scholars and interested persons for the next two millennia can pore over it and write sermons about it. No, he contents himself by simply giving the direction of their travel. Now, from a historical point of view, that is a tad disappointing. I guess we don't need to know any more than that. And yet I also think Matthew, and the Holy Spirit through Matthew, is making a profound and deep theological point. Here we have Gentiles coming from an eastern direction to come and worship this king. In fact, perhaps naively, they say, for we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And Herod and all Jerusalem are troubled by that expression. They're not just coming to take a look at him. They're not just coming to say that they were there. They're not just coming out of tradition. They're coming to worship. They were wise men. Well, what is the significance of the east? Well, of course, in the book of Genesis, we have a number of references to that direction. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are expelled from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, that wonderful paradise on earth where man was invited to live forever. And the whole earth before the fall was wonderful and without fault, without imperfection. And yet there was something about Eden, this, I believe, rather large garden, which was especially wonderful. It was the jewel in the Creator's crown. But because of sin, because of a rebellion, a petty rebellion, you might say, but its consequences we still live with, Adam and Eve began to die. And their children were born with corruption. And they were no longer permitted to live in that paradise of God. Indeed, they are expelled east from Eden. They're sent in the direction of the rising sun. I don't think there's anything especially wicked about the east. Far from it, indeed. If you keep on going east, you'll end up where you are now. But there is, I think, a significance here, because Adam and Eve are expelled. They have to go east. Furthermore, Cain, when he is given his own exile, having committed that first terrible murder. See the outworking of Adam's dreadful act of rebellion. Within the next generation, there's actually bloodshed. And brothers who should have kept each other are taking each other out into a field in order to slay them. He goes to the land of Nod in the east. Civilization has developed, and there is an awareness that lawbreakers must be punished. So Cain, off he goes. He goes in the direction of the east. In chapter 11, when the builders after the flood are building the Tower of Babel, before they get there, they journey east in this wicked endeavour to try and storm heaven, instead of waiting for heaven's God to graciously invite them. They go in the direction of the east. In Genesis chapter 13, when Abram and Lot separate, Lot journeys east and ends up in a little known place called Sodom, where the culture there is particularly obnoxious to the great God of heaven. There are other examples that could be used. When the Jews were exiled, they were taken to Babylon in the east. It's remarkable, therefore, that here we have wise men coming from the east. Now, there are other occasions in the Bible when people come from the east, and there's nothing especially significant about it, but I wonder if Matthew and or the Holy Spirit is making a point here that when Jesus is born in Bethlehem, one of the first groups of people to come and worship him, to acknowledge him, are people from the east. And symbolically, the east is a place of exile, is a place of idolatry, it's a place of punishment. The message here is that because the Lord Jesus has come to the earth, anticipating, of course, the wonderful work at Calvary and the empty tomb, because the Lord Jesus has come, you can return from the east. The exile is made welcome. The idolater is made welcome. They who have not had the law or all that wonderful Old Testament tradition and schooling, they too are bade welcome. We who lost Eden are bade welcome. We who, because we've killed and we've murdered, oh, perhaps not physically, but we've done it in our heads often enough, like Cain, were called home and were bade welcome. People who have spent their lives journeying east, building towers of Babel. You might be familiar with that phrase, Eastern wisdom or Eastern religion. People say religion is in decline in Britain, possibly, but not if you're a maker of Buddha statues. They seem to be found in every other garden. Well, any who have spent their mental lives going east, building towers to obtain heaven, because Jesus came, you too now are invited to come home. You're bade welcome. And nobody, I think, can be utterly happy or content until they're right with God through Jesus Christ. because we were each made to have a relationship with him. And when we invest everything into wealth or education or even good things like family, there is still a wanting within us. Why? Because God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And these men of the East, clever, intelligent, wealthy, respected and sophisticated, they have never been so fulfilled or contented as they are when they find him. Verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. We don't know if there was three of them. It says probably a better number than any. But however many there are, their lives and their purposes were fulfilled at that very moment. And although they had physically travelled from the East, of course they did go home to their own country, albeit another way. But spiritually speaking, they came home. Spiritually speaking, they came from the East. And they never went back. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Let me read to you some verses from Psalm 72. Psalm 72, from verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him, for he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight, and he shall live. And the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On the top of the mountains its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. All nations will call him blessed, because through him all nations will be blessed. In our text, not only do we have a very clear statement that the Messiah hath come for all peoples, regardless of where they live on the planet, regardless of their previous religious affiliation, but he's come especially for those who have wandered off, especially for those who have been exiled, especially for those who have been cut off from their inheritance. The message here is come home. The message here is Eden has been remade and its entrance is open. Come to him who is the door. Come to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.